Today we begin with our first conversation in this ongoing series that is all about intentional manifesting. And today we want to start off by defining our terms. So manifesting is the very reason that you are using the body that you are using. You have a body. We know you have a body because you are listening to these words with your ear. Having this body is an amazing, wonderful, and delightful thing. We highly recommend you continue to have it. It's very delicious. The amazing, wonderful, powerful things that can happen through physical manifestation are quite astonishing. They are part of the reason you are here for the delight of this, because the delight is indeed delightful. But you are also here because you are unconditional love taking form for the purpose of promoting the contrast that arises from your physicality and individuality that amplifies the unconditional love that you are. In other words, as we say, you are unconditional love taking a conditional form for the promotion of the unconditional love that you are. Manifesting is simply converting thought into form. That's all it is. And everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is arising as a result of manifesting, of two different types, default manifesting and intentional manifesting. The majority of what you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is coming to you through default manifesting. In fact, we would say it's 99% and more. The big four that we often name are running water, electricity, the internet, the banking system, just as examples of things that are very powerful, seemingly quite complex, and very much happening at your disposal without you having to do a single thing to make it happen, other than mostly to just get out of the way and let it occur for you. The reason why we talk about intentional manifesting is because you have taught yourself over time, and there are good reasons for this. It's not a fault of yours. You have not done something wrong, but you have taught yourself over time to intentionally remove desires from the stream of default manifesting, which just is continuously flowing, ongoing, doesn't really require any conscious, logical, thought-driven intervention whatsoever. The idea that you have of yourself, being the body that you have with the personality you have and the name you have, your purpose, the reason why you are individuated out like this, is so that you can experience the contrast of being different from the things that are around you, which from a non-physical perspective is kind of a big deal. Because from a non-physical perspective, this kind of distinction doesn't exist. From a non-physical perspective, the contrast that you see is in the contrast of thought and vibration. And in physical form, the contrast you see is much more stark and defined because it is physical in nature and involves specific separate objects. Intentionally bringing something to the table, intentionally deciding, I will have this, is a very delightful thing to do indeed. As we said before, if you are listening to us and you're not offended by what we're saying and you find interest in what we're saying, there's a likelihood that you have specifically decided you want to be in on this whole intentional thing. And you may be the only person you know other than the voices you hear here, or maybe there are a handful of people that you know who follow the same idea or have the same notion that you have. But as you'll notice in your culture, the way you've constructed it, intentional manifesting is a separate and apart thing that is very distinct and very unique. And not everyone would agree with you that you have any role in this whatsoever, or that default manifesting is coming from within you. They would just say that's just the nature of objective reality that you happen to be in the middle of. It's likely that in the past you believed that it was necessary to deal with, manage, and handle physical reality because you thought you were in a chaotic universe, that you've been cast here, either dropped from a passing UFO or perhaps just randomly found yourself here connected to an umbilical cord, which was then severed, and then you were kind of set off on your own to deal with things as they arose. And it was seemingly quite chaotic because it seemed that random things were happening. In fact, nothing random was ever happening. Everything happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit is happening as a result of intentionality. Some of it is so intentionally baked into what you're doing that we easily call it default manifesting. it's so much part of who you are and how you hold yourself to be that it doesn't, you don't have any contrast. There's no comprehension of, I'm the one who brought this into form, or I need to maintain it. Your primary job with these default manifestings is to get out of the way. It's your actual primary job with all manifesting. But with default manifesting, it wouldn't make any sense to intervene with electricity or to try to, like, cut the pipes of running water, except for a specific purpose that was a temporary measure that would amplify the havingness of running water. It would not be something you would do to just, like, randomly disconnect it because you thought, well, that'll be fun. You might occasionally have thought this would be fun, or you might have occasionally wondered what might happen, but the likelihood that you ever did anything like this is very low. Same is true with, for example, with the internet. The internet, which runs off electricity, is very much centered around computers that are interconnected to each other in a very diffuse sort of way. There's no central hub from which the internet arises. It's all sort of an interconnected cooperative event. And you will likely remember a time when there was no such thing as the internet, or maybe it existed, but you didn't know what it was, or maybe you never had a computer or a device to connect to it. And then there was a time when you did. And then all of a sudden, maybe immediately or over some time, you began to understand the functionality that it played for you. Now, the point of us talking about the Big Four is not to remind you that you're the creator of all things, although you are the creator of all things, but to distinguish those things from the things that you have brought over into what we call your workshop. And in your workshop, time and space do not exist. Functional things do not happen. Manifesting does not occur. This is something you're capable of developing and you have developed. It's at the heart of a lot of the teachings that you brought other people into play when you were a child. Teachers, well-meaning parents and relatives, chums, colleagues, if you will, people who would reinforce and reinforce and reinforce that it's your job to do things and you're the one who needs to do them. And if you don't do them, no one else is going to do them, that helped you develop the idea of a workshop. Now, you might not have ever heard this term, or you might have heard this term used by others. But when we use this term, we're just talking about the fact that you can take ideas and basically isolate them from your physical reality and from any capacity that they have to come forth into manifesting form. There are whole different sorts of things that you do in order to make that happen, but the bottom line is, because you are a master manifester, and let us be quite clear about this, to talk about intentional manifesting, this is very important. To talk about intentional manifesting is to talk about a highly advanced topic. And again, we use that word very cautiously because we do not want to give any indication that there's a lesser or a greater or a more basic to more intermediate to more advanced, or even an apprentice as opposed to a novice, as opposed to a journeyman, as opposed to a master. There really is no anyone who we ever come across who is not a master manifester. As far as we know, there's no such thing. If you have a physical reality, you are a master manifester. The bottom line is, the reason why we say that and the reason why we bring this topic to the table of intentional manifesting, going through it and walking through it and talking about it as if it were a discrete process, which it is not. And we'll likely talk more and more and more about that. But as we continue to talk about it, as we bring your attention to it, what we're doing is inviting you to pay attention to what you are actually doing here. You have all of these background things, and really that is what it's like. They're background things that are happening by default, and they're all happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit, and all very much happening in ways that are right for you. When we say that they're right for you, we don't mean what you should be doing. We mean what are right for you right here and right now. And you have the ability, something you might think is kind of not so much an ability, but just quote-unquote how things work, where you take away the very thing you desire, and instead of allowing it to happen, you examine it, you study it, you look at it. And it, as you well know, you likely spent 12 to 18 years educating yourself through the device of formal education in classrooms with other students and teachers. and a curricula or curriculum that came to you, and you may say, well, that's what they taught me. No, that's what you asked them to teach you. And you taught yourself how to do this workshop thing, how to build a place in your mind that you could isolate thought and you could examine it. And you may very well remember the first time that ever really was obvious to you without having any of this phrasing or framing or even thinking about manifesting it all as a concept or a topic, when you just suddenly realized that you understood why 5 times 5 was 25. Suddenly you were aware, like, I have 5 pies and there's 5 rooms, both all with 5 pies. There are 25 pies. I get 5 times 5. I now understand it. The bottom line here, of course, is that you are in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right here and right now. That is what is happening. You are here in this right place at this right time, in this right way, right here and right now. Again, that is what is happening. You have the ability to intentionally manifest something by taking it out of the default stream and isolating it. And in this series of conversations, what we will be talking about is what to do with those things in the workshop. We've gone through this before. We've walked through these steps that are not real, but we'll talk about that here in a moment, again and again and again. The reason we bring this back to the table is not because we have any desire to teach you anything, because you don't need our teachings or instruction, and we're not here to do that, but because you have called this forth. If you find yourself drawn to this conversation, there's a reason for that. And you can claim and name a reason if you want to. It's not going to necessarily help you. It's not going to harm you. It's not going to be particularly useful. It might be very interesting, but it likely won't be relevant. If you're here, you're here, and the manifesting is already complete, meaning that you, by default, brought this forth. And we certainly are one of your agents of default manifesting. You think that you are taking certain actions that put you in this place, and that because of those actions, that's why we're here, and that's why you're here, but that's not actually what has happened. Right now, as you listen to these words, whether you're listening to a recording or you're listening to these live, as you listen to these words, you are literally manifesting us. It is not something that is done where we arrived to fill a void that you created by saying, I am going to sign up for this thing, and I will show up, and they will be there, and they will start talking. And they'll start talking randomly, or they'll start talking about something specific, and then it will go here and it will go there, and I'll see what I like and what I don't. Everything that is arising in these conversations is really and truly your manifesting. It's powerful stuff. It's not something you need to do. It's not something you have to do. It's something you're choosing to do. The recognition of that is a very powerful thing. But above all things, and beyond all things, there's one particular thing we really do want to point at. Being here in this place at this time in this way is something that is arising because you decided to be here. It's not as a result of your action. So having said that, and that's the same way we could say if you're eating something, you may say, well, I had this dish that I warmed up and I made it edible. It was in the refrigerator. I heated it up and now I'm eating it. I have this cup of coffee that I brewed from coffee beans ground and water passing over them and some warm water that got warmer and warmer. I had a little sugar, I had a little cream, and now I'm having a nice little cup of coffee. That's the backstory. You are drinking coffee. You are having coffee in a mug that you can drink, if that is what you desire. How you got here is irrelevant. But we're going to talk about, in many ways, how you get there. It's relevant to the extent that it's helpful. And you know its helpfulness based upon whether it feels better in the application or even in the listening. So, this process of manifesting, what is it? Well, it starts off with desire, which generates contrast, or contrast, which generates desire. Which came first? You'll have to ask the chicken. We don't know. That they're there together. Desire is breeding contrast. Contrast is breeding desire. From that, when you engage with that and you begin to imagine, what you're doing is versioning out into other versions of yourself and looking at what it would look like for you to wear whatever that is. We're not talking about clothing, we mean ideas as form. And you begin to imagine, and then you begin to refine and define using the contrast that arises as a result of your versioning. Because you'll see things that you do like and you want more of that, and you'll see things you don't like and you want something different than that. But you know how this works. You think about something and you begin to refine and define it. It's pretty simple stuff. Then there's a gateway, and the gateway is intuition. In order for you to proceed, it has to feel better to you in the having. And in the imagining of the having and the versioning, that's actually what you're doing, is finding the feel better version of what it is that you desire. It doesn't have to be logical. It doesn't have to be relevant. It doesn't have to be logical. It does not have to be practical. It does not have to have, in fact, it will likely not. Intentional manifesting basically completely bypasses process altogether, meaning that there's no process to get there, except for this non-existent process that we're describing, which, again, we'll describe in more detail in a moment. But you go from contrast and desire through imagining to the intuition gateway. And when you have a thought that feels better, you know you're ready. Then you are intending it. Now, the feel better is what we call jacks or better. It's a play on the words used in a poker game, that you have to have a pair of jacks or better in your hand in order to be able to ante up to play the game. The same thing is true. It's the gateway. You cannot manifest things that do not feel better to you in the manifesting. The havingness of, and we'll talk about that as we go through the series, and the perception you bring to the table and the way in which you may or may not disguise what it is that you're looking at to yourself, that's a completely different story. And so every time you think you've manifested something you didn't like, or you mismanifested, it wasn't that you mismanifested, it's that in that moment of examination, you didn't like it. That's not the problem of manifesting. That's really the only problem there is perception. And you can always change your mind about that. But that's not what we're doing here. So again, contrast to desire, desire and contrast lead to imagining, which is actually a form of versioning. It's what you're doing. And all imagining or versioning, you're going over to see other versions of yourself having it. You find one version or maybe a handful of versions that feel better in the having, and then you intend it. And the intending part is where there's some action required. We would recommend you sit in a chair and feel the feeling of the having, the feel better feeling of the having of that which you desire, the imagining of it, and then let that carry you, and you'll feel an expansion that then peaks and crests and falls. And when that peaks and crests and falls, you're done. Now, we've talked about this many times, but this is a good place to bring it back to the table. If you are in a mood where you're thinking, but I have things I need to do to make this happen, then when it peaks, crests, and falls, most of our physical friends, until they kind of bring forth the idea that this might be the moment to let go, may think that they need to go back and double down. And if you do think you need to go back and double down, imagine yourself cutting an orange in half, a very juicy and very fragrant orange, and then using a juicer by hand and juicing the heck out of that orange, just getting every bit of everything in that orange into a cup. The pulp, the juice, every single part of it, until you have nothing left but just kind of the remnants of the rind. And you do that when the peak, cresting, and falls happen, where you just kind of juice your way into having more and more and more of anything you can get out of that feeling. And then you're done. And all of this, time-wise, up to this point is maybe 30 seconds, a minute. You may spend some time in the imagining and the versioning. You may spend hours or days or weeks or months or years before you're ready to turn and bring this to the table intentionally, thereby encountering the gatekeeper of intuition. And as we well know, you can spend years and years and years dreaming of things without ever really taking it seriously or bringing it to bear. And we'll talk more about that when we get to that point of what happens with intuition and intention. But now we've squeezed the orange as an optional thing, and it's all that's left is the rind, and there's nothing left to do. And now you enter into the part where time becomes a factor based upon your willingness. This is the allowing. And in the allowing, your job is to get out of the way. Now, the fastest way to do this is to decide that it doesn't matter if it ever happens. That's the fastest way to get to where you want to go. And we'll talk more about that as we continue. And then you move into the havingness, and the havingness means you have it. You're looking at it. It's in your hands. You can see it in the room. It's present. It's a physical thing that is now part of the holographic universe of your own manifesting. Those are the steps for intentional manifesting. Now take a deep breath. Everything we just said is wrong. Everything we just said is wrong. Except for the part where it may very well be right. And those things that we just listed out as discrete steps, they're not discrete. All of this happens all at the same time. You may break it down into time parts, and you may stretch it out by applying resistance to the process. That's how that happens. It's not a problem. It doesn't need to be cured or solved. But these things all happen simultaneously. All default manifesting happens exactly the way we're talking about. The only difference between default manifesting and intentional manifesting is what you learned when you learned how to build the workshop. You add a dollop of resistance. It's not a problem. It's an intentional act. You can say it's a problem, and you could prove yourself right, but it will not help you to claim that it's a problem. What will help you is to decide whatever's in that workshop I can liberate, and we'll talk about that. You can bring everything you're having into the default stream. You don't ever have to keep anything in that workshop. But this is the paradox of having a metaphysical, not New Age, a metaphysical conversation about intentional manifesting. Everything we're talking about is wrong because we're putting it in linear terms, and it's not a linear event. Yet everything we're talking about can be quite helpful and can be right to a point. But bottom line is, these are not discrete steps. They're all wrapped in together. We break them into discrete steps on a logical basis with a dollop of resistance in order to bring something logical for you to chew on. So, with that, we bring this conversation, this introduction, to a close. And we'll say this very powerful, very delicious phrase. As wonderful and as delightful and as amazing and as magical as all of this is, it's only getting better and better and better and better from here.